I'm Brandi Cruz, coming up today on Undivided. Allowing grown men to parade around in lingerie in front of children is not inclusion. Plus, we'll talk about the results of yesterday's primary election, and it looks like Seattle is leaning fully into socialism. And a Republican election observer who was convicted of a felony for refusing to wear a mask now looks like he's also out of a job. That and much more coming up today on Undivided. Remember, you can support our show for just $5 a month. What a deal. Go to undividedpod.com, undividedpod.com, and click on the banner that says support the show. Hello, hello, and welcome to Undivided. Thank you for being here. Thank you so much for your commitment to giving common sense a comeback. I feel like I'm geared up for this one. I had a totally different plan for the show today. Of course, the primary election was yesterday. There are some significant results that we want to take away from that, including New York. Who cares about Mamdani? Seattle's already fully into socialism and is about to get much, much deeper. But I had to set this aside because this other story came out like half hour before we came on the show today, and I'm just disgusted by it. And I'm so sick of pussyfooting around and tiptoeing around and trying not to offend the alphabet mob and being accepting of certain things and all of that. Well, they're parading men in lingerie around kids. And this is one of these grotesque examples where I just have to plead. And I do think this goes into the conversation we're going to have about election results. It's like, why are we electing and supporting people who, because of radical ideology, are perfectly fine allowing grown men to put on tiny underwear and go to an elementary school and do the splitsies around little children? It speaks to, it's not a culture wars issue. It speaks to something much more profound and broken with a subset of voters who look at that and say, yeah, that's okay with me. And then I guess maybe it's not a surprise. If that's okay with them, then everything else under the sun is going to be okay with them. Taxing people into poverty, you know, defunding the police, letting chaos consume our communities. If they're okay with grown men wearing panties, parading around children at an elementary school, everything else goes. So it's not a culture issue. It's not acceptable. It's not hateful. It's not bigoted to talk about it and point it out. So let's get into it. So this happened at Donald Eisman Elementary in the Sumner Bonnie Lake School District, which is in Washington State, if you're not familiar. There is a woman named Dawn Land, bless Dawn Land, who will find out about these things, and she'll go there with a camera and she'll get all the video and photo evidence we need, so they cannot deny that it happened. So she sends out this post on X. So she's just starting to push out some photos and video from an event that she went to on July 26th. So that's when this actually occurred, and she's releasing the video and photos this morning. She said, on July 26th, I went to a Pride event in the Bonnie Lake area of Washington State. It was held at an elementary school, and while it wasn't crowded, it was attended mostly by families with children. In addition to the school playground, there was a bouncy house and inflatable giant hamster balls, as well as an arts and craft table to encourage kids' attendance. They had drag queen story hour and several drag performances. It's taken days to edit the more than 4 hours of footage I came away with, and I'm still not finished. So she gathers all this video, takes a few days, and I give Dawn credit because one of the things she wanted to make sure to do is to blur the faces of the tiny children whose parents thought it was a good idea to bring them there. So what did she see while she was there? Well, as I teased, grown men, scantily clad in lingerie, doing the splitsies in front of little kids. You guys, at a freaking elementary school. And there's like toddlers up to, I don't know, the oldest kid I saw in the photos looked maybe 10 or 12. All over the place. And here you've got some guy in a corset lingerie with thigh-high, what do you call those? Like a garter. With thigh-high stockings. Leggings. And heels. Leggings,
yeah.
Something that, look, would be perfectly appropriate if you were in a private club dancing for adults. I've been to many drag shows. In what world, someone on the left, tell me, in what world, you, and Nicole, can you take a closer look? Can we zoom in on the one? What the hell is that? Some sort of like thong thing. Ass fully exposed. And you see right there, two tiny children. One so small they're in a stroller. Feet away. In what world is this acceptable? But this isn't like some fringe thing. This happens all the time. And there are parents, oh, applauding and yay. Yay for a grown adult man dressed in drag, spreading their legs for children at an elementary school. And one of the things Dawn mentioned is this was an event clearly tailored for kids. I mean, as if hosting it at an elementary school is not the biggest indicator you need that this was intended for children. You know, there's already a playground there, but you look in the background at all the other stuff they set up. So they've got grown men in lingerie, right? And then just a few feet away, they've got the bouncy house set up. They've got an arts and crafts table. They've got those giant, like, adult-sized hamster wheels you can get in. And apparently the drag performers went in them as well at some point and rolled around. I'm sure that was a sight to behold. And I mean, shame on every parent there. We'll talk about that in a moment. Shame on every parent there. Let's see what else you got. Even a child tipping a man with cash. Yep. Basically, taking a kid to a strip club. I mean, there's no difference. No difference. Hey, here you go, honey. Throw money at this performer.
Dressed like Ariel.
Dressed like Ariel.
The little man.
From a kid's freaking movie. Dude. I mean, you guys, we have to find a way to interrupt this perversion. It's not about inclusion. It's not about love and acceptance. This is perversion. There's no other way to look at it. It's perversion and also it's one other thing. It's political, okay? This is about, like, school's out for summer, but that doesn't mean the indoctrination has to stop. Oh, no, they need the indoctrination to continue, because what's one of the reasons, as we talk about all this, right, that we see this so much in schools, this pushing of radical gender ideology, this bringing of teachers' own political biases into their classrooms and pushing them on kids, they're raising the future Democrats and Democratic Socialists of America. That's the goal here. It's not just to expose these young children and to try to normalize this sort of behavior. But it's also about, while we got them, let's make sure that they understand that they should be members of the Democratic Party. This was a video Don Land took. It's one of the drag announcers. And they don't say the word Democrat, but when you look at the sign, they're talking about the 31st Legislative District Democrats. Let's play the video.
Did you guys happen to see the booth all the way at the end that said Legislative District? Do we know what that means? What district is this?
31st.
So outside of drag, I got into drag because of activism. I figured, like, what better way to protest and make people, like, eat it than putting on a wig? Barely. I'm the vice chair of the 23rd Legislative District in Paulsville and Bainbridge, all the way up there. And I encourage you, we need more representation from the Sparkle Coalitions. You know what I mean? Like, we bring so much realistic life experience. We know what it's like to have empathy, the struggle, and we can teach people that are really stuck in their ways. Sometimes that's our neighbors. Raise your hand if you have a stubborn neighbor. Stubborn uncle, stubborn grandpa.
Oh,
yeah? They're everywhere. And to be honest, everybody's kind of afraid with what's going on in the world right now. And sometimes all we can do is love and listen. Because if we do other things, we'll go to jail. Violence is bad. Okay?
What do you even do with that? I mean, what do you even... There's so much to unpack there. First, if you couldn't see the sign, he's talking about he's the vice chair for the Democrats where he's from. And they've got a booth, a sign, at this elementary school at an event where grown men are exposing themselves to children. And it says 31st Legislative District Democrats. And this is a mainstream thing for the Democratic Party in Washington State. It's a mainstream thing. They don't see anything wrong with this. And then all of the dripping indoctrination happening and just those remarks there. Oh, these people. Oh, do you know someone who's stubborn? Oh, they're everywhere. They're everywhere. They don't understand that this is just about love and inclusion and acceptance. And they're hateful. And, you know, definitely don't hurt them. Ha, 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 ha. Violence is bad. But we just have to help them. So you put all the pieces together. I mean, this is a mainstream Democratic thing. And I challenge you to prove me wrong. I know we have some Democrats who watch the show. I challenge you to prove me wrong. I know we have Democratic lawmakers in Washington State who watch the show. I challenge you to prove me wrong. If this is not a mainstream, an acceptable activity in the mainstream Democratic Party in Washington State, go out publicly and say so. Don't send me a private message. Don't send me a private text. Don't send me a private DM saying, oh, I saw your show today. That was disgusting. Because I'm not going to respond to you. You say it publicly. You put your flag in the sand and say, as a Democrat, as an elected Democrat in Washington State, I do not believe it's acceptable for men or women to be parading around at an elementary school in lingerie. Do it. I dare you. Because I know a lot of you believe that. You feel that way. You message me about it often. But you don't have the backbone to say it publicly. And you certainly don't have the backbone to vote against any of this. So that tells me you sign off on it. And it's disgusting. And I'm sick of, you know, again, treading around this issue as if, you know, and part of me always tries to normalize it. Like, hey, I go to drag shows. And I do. It's been a while, but I've been to a drag show with my adult friends at a bar where it's 21 plus. And we've reached out to the Sumner Bonnie Lake School District. I will admit, just right before the show, so they didn't have ample opportunity to respond because this just came out and we decided to lead the show with it today. But how do you justify it? How do you justify allowing it in the parking lot of an elementary school? You guys, I don't get it. Some Democrat, tell me that there's some sanity, that there's some sliver of sanity left in your party. Where there's someone who's willing to stand up and say, hey, we support inclusivity and love and same-sex marriage. But if anything, all of this is going to undermine all that work we've done. And I've always supported same-sex marriage. I've always supported it. But I do think there's a truth that this radical stuff, which is just perversion, is going to undermine the I think, reasonable fights for equality and tolerance. So I'd like to see one elected Democrat today, just one. And if you see them, put it out there, please tell me. I'd like to see one elected Democrat in Washington State come out and say they're opposed to men exposing themselves to children at an elementary school. Unbelievable. And I think that segues perfectly into the primary results of yesterday, because people in Washington keep voting for individuals who support this kind of nonsense, who want it woven into every fabric of government. They want it woven into our schools. They want it woven into government. They want to allow parades down Main Street with people with, you know, bondage gear and ball gags in front of children. And they want to vilify people like us who speak out about that as the extremists. We're the extremists, not the people exposing themselves to kids. We're the extremists. Got it. We're in a blue state. Donald Trump is not popular in our state. Donald Trump has hurt down-ballot Republicans in this state. Whether I think that's justified or not, I don't think it's justified. I think Democrats have done far more damage to our state, not even close, than Donald Trump has done. Not even close. But I want to start, actually, I'll talk about, I think, the race that epitomizes how bad the results were yesterday. So if you go back 4 years, the 2021 elections in Seattle. So that's kind of the off year. That's when a lot of cities have their mayoral races and city council races. So what was happening in Seattle in 2021? Well, at the time when those races and those campaigns were being run, we were still in, but kind of coming out of the fog of the Defund the Police movement. It's about a year after the riots of 2020. And there were, you know, certainly some progressives and socialists who were still trying to push defunding. But for the most part, the public had started to fall out of favor with it. We were also in a period of extremely high crime in the city of Seattle, some of that related to the defunding movement and the rhetoric against police officers, but also some of it related to the pandemic, certainly. I think you took in Seattle all of the law-abiding foot traffic out of the city because of COVID, and then you just had, you know, the drug dens taking over and the drug dealers and the markets of stolen goods. So things were really bad in 2020, not to say they're not bad now, but they were pretty bad in 2020. They were so bad, or 2021, they were so bad that the city of Seattle, voters in the city of Seattle, decided to elect a Republican as the city attorney. Now, the city attorney's race is nonpartisan, but Ann Davison had come out very publicly at the time and said that she had left the Democratic Party because it had become insane, and she decided to be a Republican. And she ran for the city's top prosecutor as a Republican. And she ran against this Looney Tune, Nicole Thomas Kennedy, who'd been fully into dismantling police, had said some disgusting radical things about the police, had celebrated acts of rioting, etc. So she was so bad, and Seattle was so bad from a crime perspective at the time, that Seattle voters elected Ann Davison as the city attorney. It was like, holy smokes, is the tide a-turning? And not only that, since then, voters in Seattle have tended toward more moderate Democrats. You know, Bruce Harrell won the mayor's office. And the alternative, Lorena Gonzalez, back in 2021, was insane. Like, she was calling Amazon a bad thing for the city. Just nuts. And so you saw this shift toward, ever so slightly, moderacy, right? And so I think a lot of us, myself included, thought, gosh, maybe this is a good thing. Maybe, you know, Seattle voters finally said, hey, there's rock bottom. We can see it. We don't want to reach it. So we're going to go in the other direction. Well, 4 years later, my how things have changed, because they have decided to do an abrupt about face and walk straight back towards socialism. So in the Seattle city attorney race, again, Ann Davison smoked in the primary yesterday, 37% of the vote, against Erica Evans, someone who will bring us back to the old ways. And look, has Ann done a great job? You know what? No. No, she hasn't. I like Ann. I like her as a person. We've always gotten along very well. Ann has tried to be, especially in these last 6 months, everything to everybody. She has abandoned, I think, the reasons why she became a Republican in the first place and left the Democratic Party. And she has tried to kowtow to far leftists by standing up with Bruce Harrell at press conferences, talking about fighting back against the Trump administration, wanting to be a sanctuary city. She abandoned really all the reasons and the really hard positions that she took in 2021 that I think appealed to Seattle voters at the time, because they saw it as authentic. They saw her as being authentic. And I'm sorry, but authenticity is so big now. And it's one of the reasons for the popularity of Donald Trump. And even for voters who don't like Donald Trump, they at least see that, you know, they kind of know what they're getting. And so I think Ann, in part, maybe did this to herself in terms of, she's like at one stage, she's in the, oh, hard on crime. And then the next day she's like, yes, sanctuary policies are good. Well, ICE is literally taking child rapists and murderers and drug dealers off the streets of Seattle. But still, for Ann Davison to capture the city attorney's office as the top prosecutor 4 years ago as a declared Republican, and now for her to get 37% of the vote to someone who I think will take us back to the soft on crime, you know, hate the police days. It's insane. And this isn't just an anomaly. This happened in all the Seattle races. So the mayoral race, Bruce Harrell. Now, this is a little bit closer, but still, for an incumbent, this is not good. 44% of the vote. If you can't get more than 50% of the vote as an incumbent, you're in trouble. And Katie Wilson, who, again, she in my opinion, she's a socialist. And she will push. Yeah, Seattle already has embraced a lot of socialist policies, but she'll push them every step of the way. She's beating him, 46% of the vote. That is not a good place to be. Now, I'll say the same thing about Bruce Harrell. And I struggle with this, right? Because I've said, you know, Bruce Harrell's really the only option here. You can't vote for Katie Wilson. But has Bruce Harrell done a good job? No, he's done a shitty job. He's done a horrible job. He, too, campaigned on one thing, and then as soon as the pressure was on from the far left, caved. He talks a lot. He does very little. So should I really sit here and advocate for someone who's done a crap job to be able to keep their job? That's tough. I don't think we should reward politicians who do a horrible job and who stray so far from the reason they ran in the first place to be a moderate, tough on crime, we're going to solve homelessness, all of these things. But at the same time, do I really want to see Seattle with a Mayor Katie Wilson? No. But it's consistent, right? Ann Davison, losing. Bruce Harrell, the more moderate, losing. This one maybe hurts the most. One of the only morally consistent elected leaders in Seattle we've seen, truly. Someone who, far left be damned, I don't care if I piss them off, I'm going to put forth policies that I think are good for business and are good for public safety. The city council president, Sarah Nelson, losing by a ton. This one breaks my heart. Because I will give it to Sarah Nelson that she has, for the most part, been the person she campaigned as. Been the city council member she campaigned as. Has taken difficult votes and difficult positions. And she got 39% yesterday. Again, to a socialist light, Dianne Foster. How does this happen? How can people be exposed to what socialism has done to our city, to what soft-on-crime has done to our city, to what hands-off homelessness has done to our city, and say, let's keep going that direction. Let's vote people like Sarah Nelson, who understands the importance of businesses. She's still a Democrat. She's still a liberal. She still agrees with y'all on all the social issues. But she what? Doesn't want the streets to be littered with tents? Doesn't want people dying in the alcoves of businesses with needles in their arms? Doesn't want Amazon to pull 20,000 jobs out of the city? And so she's a bad guy and she's got to leave? I mean, the results could not be worse in the city of Seattle. I know the rest of the country is focused on what's happening in New York City and, oh my God, they might elect a socialist. We're in socialism hell here already. And they just want to dig us deeper. They just want to dig us deeper. And somebody was telling me on X yesterday, Brandy, don't blame the voters. I thought, what do you mean don't blame the voters? And you say, blame the people who aren't voting. Turnout is so low in an off-year primary where there's not a presidential race at the top of the ticket. And I understand that. So the people who vote are really into the races and all of this. They tend to be more ideological. And so they're coming out for the hyper-extreme candidates. And so somebody said, don't blame the voters, blame the non-voters. And maybe that's a good point. But like, if you're not voting, then you don't have a say. So I don't know. But like, are people so, you know, especially if the few Republicans, maybe 20 to 30% of Seattle voters who are Republicans, are they sitting out? Is that what's happening? Because there's just no one who they like? But it's like, I would love to just say, I don't care. I would love that. I can't because it's my job. But also what happens in Seattle impacts all of us. And not just in Washington State. In Oregon, in California, up and down the West Coast, it truly does. When you see, I mean, the West Coast moves sort of as an amorphous blob. And they'll pass these, one jurisdiction will pass these insane policies, and then it'll spread like wildfire up and down the West Coast. And then eventually those policies find their way into the halls of Congress, and that's when you see the Congresswoman Pramila Jayapal's of the world start to push them there, or the Congresswoman AOC's of the world start to bring failed policies from New York City in the halls of Congress and try to push them there. So wherever extremism is happening and extreme politicians and policies are being pushed in the United States, whether it's in our backyard or someone else's backyard, we have to care about it. Because it's one election removed from coming to us, from coming to Congress, from becoming law that we all have to deal with. Just one of many examples. The idea of, well, I could give you like five examples. Police defunding, and that was something that definitely sprouted in Seattle, right? And then it took hold, spread into progressive areas of the country. And then the next legislative session, it was in Olympia. And they were taking aim at the police. They were trying to take money from the police. They were passing crazy laws like the police can't pursue criminals. And it spreads just like that. The insane restrictions for landlords in Seattle. They can't screen tenants. They can't do this. They can't do that. And all of a sudden, turn around next day, we got rent control statewide. First state in the country. So these things matter. We can't just look at Seattle and say, good luck, losers. As much as I'd love to and as much as I feel that way. I live in King County. I escaped Seattle many moons ago when I met my wonderful husband and he convinced me to move out. But I'm still in King County. So the craziness of Seattle still impacts me profoundly. And that impacts King County politics, and those of us who live in sane parts of King County are still impacted by it, so we can't just write it off. Unfortunately, we have to keep pushing people to see things more clearly. So I will say the bad results were kind of across the board. There were a few glimmers of hope in the primary. We touched on a lot of these races at the legislative level, really trying to make sure that Democrats don't get a supermajority that allows them to override even a governor's veto. So not thrilled with where the two key state Senate races are. In the 5th Legislative District, of course, our choice, Chad Magandans, he is running to replace the installed Democrat Victoria Hunt, who supported all the socialist policies pushed in Olympia this past session. He's losing 47% to 53%. I really think that low turnout is to blame. That is a tough, it's tough to come back from that. I think it's doable. It's 100% doable. But Republicans absolutely have to motivate their base to turn their ballots in. And, you know, Chad's been painted as like a rhino by some on the right. And I'm sure there are Republicans who won't vote for him out of spite because of that. Suck it up. Suck it up. Because it's much bigger than just Chad and just that race. It's about whether, you know, Democrats can push insane policies like they did this session, rent control, pay for striking workers, etc. I feel better about the 26th legislative district race for state Senate. Michelle Caldier, the Republican, our choice, is winning, but just barely. So Deb Krishnadanson is the installed Democrat. She was appointed to fill a vacancy. She's got 49.74% of the vote. Michelle Caldier has 50.04% of the vote. I do think, I mean, Michelle's won a lot of races in that district, in that area. I think she will pull this off in November, but Republicans have to be donating to her campaign. Reasonable Democrats, business-minded Democrats, etc. A couple things that are maybe a little more promising, okay? First, let's say, can we get to the 48th really quick? This is a horrifying result. Maybe one of the worst results of the whole night. So this is a state Senate race. Amy Wallen versus Vandana Slaughter. Vandana Slaughter is the Democrat who currently is the state senator for that district. Amy Wallen, another Democrat, decided to challenge her. And Amy Wallen is a state representative, and she's much more business friendly, much more public safety oriented. 38% of the vote. I mean, there's no way she wins. 38% of the vote. And you know what's crazy about that? This district includes a big chunk of Bellevue. Big chunk of Bellevue. What the hell is wrong with Bellevue voters? I mean, you guys, because of business, you rely on, you're supposed to be the more sane Democrats. Like, hey, you know, we don't tolerate the nonsense of Seattle. We don't tolerate the anti-business environment. We don't tolerate the homelessness and the crime. Then why are you reelecting Vandana Slaughter? Lost their minds. So maybe the most disappointing. All right. In the 33rd legislative district, which we covered quite a bit, again, another one of these, I told you guys, D-on-D races where it's like, you can't just as Republicans sit out. You've got to vote for the more reasonable Democrat, which is Kevin Schilling. Way more reasonable, friendly to business, pro-public safety, and the installed Democrat is Edwin Obras, who's just been running a campaign of lies. Now, you might look at these results on the surface and think, ugh, terrible for Kevin Schilling. He got 32% of the vote. Edwin Obras got 43% of the vote, but not so fast. Because when you look at, there was several other candidates in the race. One of them was a Republican who got roughly 20% of the vote. Well, who do you think that's going to go to? Well, that's going to go to Kevin Schilling if you're an informed voter. There's a few other Democrats that were in there. So I think you add that up, Kevin Schilling can easily win this race. Republicans need to come out for him. They need to go from the Republican who they voted for in the primary, who will not advance to the general election. And they need to vote for Kevin. They need to support his campaign. And you know what? Edwin Obras has been running those just dishonest ads where he's sending out, well, it's a pack on his behalf, basically, sending out mailers calling Kevin Schilling like Schilling MAGA. That might not be so bad. That might actually work against him because now Kevin needs to rally Republicans to vote for him. That's actually helpful if Edwin Obras or PACs or, you know, outside expenditures are sending out flyers with Kevin's face saying MAGA. That might actually help Kevin in this race. So keep doing that, Edwin. Keep doing that. Now, one pleasant surprise, one pleasant surprise, is the race for King County Executive. So we can end this segment on a high note. So, of course, Gurmay Zahalai, I thought, was kind of the shoe-in because he's got, like, all the mainstream Democrats. Governor Bob Ferguson's appearing in campaign ads for him. So is Congresswoman Pramila Jayapal, all of that. So I thought he's a shoe-in. He came away from the night with only 40% of the vote. And there was a big chunk that went to, and Claudia Balducci, who, don't get me wrong, she's batshit crazy too, but she is definitely the better of the two options. This is a game of inches. So we want Claudia Balducci to win. She got 30% of the vote. But there was a chunk that went to a Republican candidate. So in theory, that would go to Balducci. And then there was even like, I want to say 7-9% that went for that Wilson candidate who ended up dropping out because his ex accuses him of stalking. That would go to Balducci. So in a game of numbers and you're adding it up, Claudia Balducci can absolutely win. Will I be excited? No. But will it be better than Gurmay Zahalai? Yes, significantly better.
So you're saying there's a chance.
I'm saying there's a chance in the 33rd. So if we have anything to sort of hang our hats on, I think the two Senate races are still very winnable for Republicans. And don't even look at it as Republican versus Democrat. We need to fix the outsized majority Democrats have. So it's just a numbers game. And so we need Chad Magandans and Michelle Caldeir to win those races. It's doable. For Chad, it's a little more difficult, but it's doable. So let's march forth as if it's doable, right? And then Kevin Schilling can totally win in the 33rd. By all means, Edwin, keep painting him as MAGA. We'll really get the Republicans excited for Kevin Schilling. Mm-hmm. And then in King County, man, does it get to the point where I'm out there holding a sign for Claudia Balducci? Probably not. But I think that she can win with all the numbers. And Gurmay, he's been on our show before. I think he's a nice man, just for the record. He's not someone who I'm going to personally attack or vilify. I try not to personally attack anyone except like women with nose rings. But not Gurmay. He's been on the show. My problem with Gurmay is he acts much more reasonable than he truly is. He puts on a good facade. He's like the superintendent of public instruction, Chris Reichdahl. Mm-hmm. Spins a good yarn. Is that the... Yes.
The good talker.
Good talker. Good talker. And he will be who he thinks he needs to be in front of the audience. So, mm-hmm, of course, if he's mm-hmm. on with us, he's going to be a little more reasonable. And, oh, no, I don't support police defunding anymore. Sure. Okay. So, Gurmay, nothing personal, bro. Nothing personal. I just want you to lose. So there it is. So a couple of key things. But Seattle has lost its mind. Seattle has lost its mind. But it doesn't mean we can give up because Seattle is going to dictate the future of the entire state.
I assume everybody all the sane people moved. They just moved. Well, yeah. They were like, I mean, we've had enough.
Or we got moved and they out got of out. Seattle. But I mean, that's a big shift in 4 years. It's a big shift to say we're going to elect a Republican and all these moderates, and then now we're going to elect all the socialists.
Yeah.
And they can call themselves Democrats. They're not. They're socialists. At the very least, they're Democratic socialists because the policies are the same. Free stuff. Free stuff. Free stuff. Free stuff for everybody.
Well, the only people I know that live there are Jason Rance and Ari Hoffman. So.
Yeah, that's about true. It. I wonder who they voted for. Yes.
I don't know how they do it.
I've got just a disturbing update for you in a story we've been covering exclusively for some time. And that's the story of the two Republican election observers in Island County, Washington, who one now convicted of a felony. Another one faces a trial over felony for refusing to wear a mask. Well, one of them, Tim Hazelow, looks like he's out of a job. It just pisses me right the you know what off. First, I have encouraged you guys to take the First Mark Challenge. FirstMarkInsurance.com. FirstMarkInsurance.com. Well, we all need insurance, right? And so why not have somebody else handle it for you, which is number one. We're too busy for this, guys. You're too busy. I'm too busy. You think I want to be out there shopping for insurance for myself? No. That's why I'm a member of the First Mark family, and you should be too. And on top of that, they could save you thousands of dollars a year, and you never pay First Mark Insurance anything. They do all of this for you for free. All of it. Well, the insurance companies pay them. You don't pay them. So I guess they don't technically do it for free, but it is a great company. We hear from so many undivided viewers and listeners who have saved thousands of dollars a year. Lisa says that First Mark was able to save them 50% a year on their small business insurance, which is awesome. I mean, as a small business owner myself, I know how much that means. Daryl says they were able to save us $400 from our current insurance, which I'm sure would have gone up even more at the renewal date. So we love to hear those stories, and we love to add members of the First Mark family. FirstMarkInsurance.com, FirstMarkInsurance.com. The very best part is they work for you, not the insurance companies. Okay, you know by now the story of Tim Hazelow, who was convicted of a felony because he refused to wear a mask while observing ballot counting in the 2024 election. Well, and now it looks like the unthinkable has happened, and because of that conviction, Tim Hazelow is out of a job. Let's talk about it in our segment, Unbelievable. Okay, so I've been in touch with Tim, obviously, and we've been very behind the scenes sort of involved in just trying to, gosh, get his conviction thrown out or help him with an appeal. We were able to connect Tim and Tracy, who's the woman who's also facing a felony. Well, right now it's going to trial, so I think at the end of August she's set to go to trial. A little bit of background for those who aren't familiar. We've got the video for you. Tim Hazelow, he was a chair of the Republican Party in Island County. He was also a volunteer ballot observer. And the Island County auditor put in a rule, and this again is 2024, long after the pandemic, that you had to wear a mask to observe the ballot counting, which Republicans said is ridiculous. And they thought it unfairly targeted them because they were going to be less likely to be willing to wear a mask compared to Democrat ballot observers. And so they thought that the auditor didn't have the right to make a rule like that. And so Tim walked in and decided to challenge it. And what happened? Well, the police came there and ordered him to leave. So at the time, he was just cited for disorderly conduct, which I think is insane because you watch the video and he's being just totally nice and polite and they walk him out and there's really no problem. I thought maybe trespass should have been the worst of it. But then a highly ideological leftist prosecutor decided to prosecute Tim Hazelow with a felony using some weird state statute that I get why it exists. It's for someone who unlawfully enters a ballot or an election center or a ballot counting facility. Like, yeah, we don't want somebody breaking in and stealing ballots and stuff. That should be a felony. That's not what Tim did. He signed in as a ballot observer, went in, sat there peacefully. And then when he was asked to leave, you know, explained why he wasn't wearing a mask. And eventually he did leave and just walked out. So he gets charged with a felony by this Greg Banks guy, who's the elected prosecutor in Island County. And we've told you everything about Greg Banks. He's got all these social media posts about hating Republicans, you know, wishing death on people who won't wear masks. And not only did he charge Tim Hazelow with a felony, he personally prosecuted the case, which he never does. He personally prosecuted the case in court. And good for him, was able to secure a conviction. And I'll get to more on him in a second, but it's insane. So Tim Hazelow is awaiting sentencing, right? Which looks like it's going to happen right now, scheduled for the 26th of this month. He faces up to 6 years in prison. Okay, I don't think he'll get that, but who knows, because I didn't think he'd be convicted in the first place. But one of beyond the sentence and beyond maybe going to jail for a little bit of time and having to pay some fees, he knew that if he was convicted, it would cost him his career. Because he works on a military base. He works in security. He has to have a clearance to be able to do his job. So as all of this was going on, he decides to do what he's required to do, and he self-reports and tells his employer, hey, this has happened and I've now been convicted. And just like that, now he doesn't have clearance to go to his place of employment. And his union is trying to help him out, but right now he's out of a job. Think about this. Because he didn't wear a mask in 2024, he's a convicted felon. And his career is ruined. And he's sitting here for the next month wondering how much time he's going to spend in prison. What do you say? And Greg Banks, I would ask you, is that what you wanted? You hate Republicans. You hate Trump supporters. You know, you've said we need to rid the world of their diseased thinking. You've wished death on people who won't wear masks. So is this enough for you? Is this your pound of flesh? You take this dedicated, lifelong public servant, you put him in prison and you take his career away at the end of it while he's trying to save and make sure he has enough money for retirement. Are you happy now, Greg Banks? You've taken everything from him. I know the show's called Undivided. You're a disgusting human being. You are. And you can try to justify it. You've said you're protecting the sanctity of our elections, as if Tim Hazelow sitting there without a mask on in 2024 was disrupting anything. It wasn't. You are not a good person. You're not. You have prosecutorial discretion, especially you as the elected prosecutor. You didn't have to make this a felony. Besides, they weren't even charged with a felony to begin with. He was facing misdemeanor trespassing and disorderly conduct. And you sent him a letter and his attorney, and you said, if you don't plead guilty, I'm going to charge you with a felony. And he said, I'm not pleading guilty to this. So you decided to elevate it to a felony because he wouldn't give in. You didn't have to make it a felony. And look, I've even said, if it was Tim Hazelow stood up for what he believed in, if there was a consequence for him doing that, that was like trespassing, or hey, you can't come to the auditor's building anymore, so you're not able to be an election observer for future elections, I would have been like, well, it's kind of ridiculous, a mask mandate, but fine. That's all it should have been. That's all it should have been. It's absolutely insane. So, of course, Tim is not the only one. Tracy Abel is up next. Same exact thing happened to her. And she's just this, like, nice older woman. And she went in and she got escorted out and police told her she had to leave. And so now she's next up, and you can only imagine how freaked out she is, because she sees what's happening to Tim. And she, you know, she doesn't have the career element of it on the line. She's retired, but she volunteers at a local school. She's worried about that, and she's really worried about going to prison. It's just unreal. It's unreal. Greg Banks, like, you have no soul, no heart. So I rarely do this, and please, after I do this, don't send me your GoFundMe pages and ask me to put them out there, because I won't. I rarely publish GoFundMe pages or anything like that, but I'm going to make an exception in this case. Tim and Tracy both have give-send-goes, and I will say, I know Tim's goal, he's trying to raise $100,000, and that's because he's lost his job. He's at $23,000 right now. And then Tracy, her goal is $10,000. She's almost there. She's at $9,260 right now, and she was trying to cover the cost of her retainer for her attorney. So I definitely, if you feel so compelled, I'd like to help them a little bit right now. Certainly we behind the scenes, I don't know how the extent to which I've talked to you guys about this, but we have connected them with some generous benefactors who wanted to make sure that they had the best possible defense team. So Tim Hazelow has, free to him, some great criminal defense attorneys who are working on his behalf, trying to get an appeal figured out ahead of sentencing and all of that. And then Tracy, the same team working with her as she heads into trial. So absolutely outrageous. Greg Banks really should be ashamed of himself. I mean, and he sends these emails. We've had undivided viewers and listeners who've been sending him emails, and he'll respond with these lengthy email responses justifying what he did, as if he is the hero of the universe, as if the presidential election would never have been certified had he not taken this action. I mean, he really thinks that of himself. It is truly unbelievable. It just bothers me deep to my core. All right, I do want to follow up on the Olympian Paco debacle here momentarily. First, we're all working toward retirement. I mean, talking about retirement, Tim, what the hell do you do in that situation? You're certainly planning for retirement. Don't expect to lose your job because you didn't wear a mask in 2024. Insane. But for the rest of us, we want to make sure we manage risk, right? Some of that you can't manage. How do I manage something like that? But the risk that you can manage, Zach Abraham and his team at Bulwer Capital, that's what they specialize in. They specialize in managing risk. And so if you just think you need a second opinion, maybe you're not entirely, you know, sure how your portfolio is performing or the plan to manage risk right now, given global unrest, what's happening in the markets, et cetera, et cetera. Just tell Zach you want a second opinion. Reach out to him. Say, hey, Brandy said you'd give me a second opinion on your retirement portfolio. He'll do it for free. He'll give you an honest assessment of everything that's going on and then just sort of your investments and the allotments and all of that. So let Bulwer Capital do that, show you a full reveal of how they're always looking for opportunities to lower risk, lower cost, give your retirement as much upside as possible. You only get one retirement. Get a second opinion. Schedule your free risk review now at knowyourriskpodcast.com. Don't put it off. knowyourriskpodcast.com. You guys don't know this, but behind the scenes, the last 5 minutes, I was struggling. I had something in my eyeball and I was like, keep the graphics up. I got it though. I'm pretty sure I got it. Everything's fine. So I'm not crying as much as I wanted to cry about the masking story. Had something in my eye hole. All right. No apology from the Olympian. I'm not going to dwell on this right now. You guys know the whole story. They published a false story about a guy named Paco who was abducted by ICE. We proved that the guy was actually Yusef Zarate Borgen, a Mexican national wanted for murder. The Olympian left the false story up, published a new story, basically blaming me for revealing the truth. I'm a horrible human being. I'm racist. I'm, I don't know, homophobe, which is weird. And, you know, they don't name me by name, but everybody knows who they're talking about. And they allowed this leftist organization out of Portland that's aligned with Antifa to slander me in their article. And I told them yesterday that I wanted a retraction and I wanted or specification. You know, let them just put this weird quote in there about influencers targeting these people. So you know what? Either add some specification. Who are the influencers? Let's name names here. Or else the average viewer is going to assume you're talking about me. So if you're not talking about me, who you're talking about? No response from the Olympian, which is not a surprise, I guess. They never responded to us when we were trying to research the initial story. Didn't respond to us about that. I gave them until the end of the day yesterday to issue a retraction and a well-placed apology. They have done neither of those things. And so we're going to do what we have to do behind the scenes to try to force their hand. And so, you know, we're going to start working on that. And I'm done with the media getting away with stuff like this. Like, I can't force them to be good journalists. I can't force them to take accountability for publishing a totally false article. That is on them and their own editorial standards. And I think it's very clear the Olympian has none, which means McClatchy newspapers have no editorial standards whatsoever. If you can publish a fully unvetted story, then you have no editorial standards. And that's scary because McClatchy publications feed news articles to many of the newspapers across the state. So that just means that more and more people are being indoctrinated by the fake news media. So I can't force them to take accountability, but I can go after them if they're going to defame me. So we're going to work on some stuff behind the scenes, but I just wanted to update you on that. In case you were wondering, maybe I got some fantastic apology from the Olympian. Sure didn't. Sure didn't. And I think we're going to see many more stories like this, frankly. We know that there are increasing tensions, of course, between the federal government and sanctuary jurisdictions. And the federal government has not shown any signs of letting up. They have no interest whatsoever in letting up on the arrests and the deportations. And even Tom Holman, I mean, I don't know when this trip is scheduled. He keeps saying he's coming to Portland, he's coming to Seattle, he's visiting sanctuary jurisdictions. So he's like going to the belly of the beast. And the Department of Justice is now ratcheting up the pressure, saying it is going to go after sanctuary jurisdictions in court to try to force their hand. They put out a list of sanctuary jurisdictions yesterday, and they've published some lists in the past, although they haven't been this extensive, and they hadn't included us, and now they do. It says Justice Department publishes list of sanctuary jurisdictions. So I identified people as having policies, laws, or regulations that impede enforcement of federal immigration laws. Attorney General Pam Bondi said sanctuary policies impede law enforcement and put American citizens at risk by design. The Department of Justice will continue bringing litigation against sanctuary jurisdictions and work closely with the Department of Homeland Security to eradicate these harmful policies around the country. So on the states that they list, California, Colorado, Connecticut, Delaware, District of Columbia, Illinois, Minnesota, Nevada, New York, Oregon, Rhode Island, Vermont, and at the bottom, always at the bottom. Well, I guess that's alphabetical, isn't it? Okay, I can't be too mad there. It's alphabetical. I'm so easily triggered. Calm down, Brandy. It's alphabetical. And then the cities, I won't go through all of them, but there is Seattle down there. So, yeah, we know that we're a sanctuary. Really, there's a lot of other cities in Washington state that are sanctuary jurisdictions. But, of course, Seattle, one of the worst offenders. And we've seen, I mean, they should be bending over backward to thank ICE at a time of low police staffing for helping them get some violent criminals off the street and taking them out of the state. But no, of course, they'll fight to protect them. So we'll see when the Department of Justice hammer is going to come down. I'm still waiting for them to hire a United States attorney for the Western District of Washington. I just can't believe that 8 months in, 7.5 months into Trump's term, when stuff like this has been such a high priority to kind of eradicate this leftism that's making our country less safe, that they haven't handpicked a United States attorney to send to the federal courthouse, federal courthouse in Seattle, and start to lay the hammer down on these people. So I've heard names thrown around, some I like, some I do not like at all. And behind the scenes, I've tried to the best of my ability, be like, not this person. Oh my God, we need a fighter. We need a fighter who's going to go after not only this, and politicians who might, you know, give cover to illegal violent criminals. We need someone to come in and go after the homeless industrial complex. You know how much federal money has been probably stolen? Totally guessing, but we've seen instances of embezzlement. You know how much federal money has either been misappropriated, gone missing, stolen, whatever it is that they could charge people criminally for? No way billions of dollars are just vanishing and our homeless crisis is getting worse. No way that's all going. I mean, we did that story in Portland. $700 million in Portland in 1 year went toward homelessness. And remember Kevin Dahlgren, who does outreach work down there, interviews this homeless guy. I should have re-upped the clip. It's just crazy. And it amounted to, like, what was it, $70,000 a year per homeless person? And he's like, the only thing the city's done for me is maybe a hot dog in the park. It's like, where is all that money going? Crazy. That's what I would love to see. I just dream. I have these dreams of a strong United States attorney who marches out with a press conference and names names of all the radical leftists who are going to prison for stealing your tax money that was supposed to help the homeless. That's like a wet dream. Fever dream, wet dream. Why do I always talk about wet dreams on the show?
I don't know. Yeah.
I'm not.
A little obsession.
I'm going to move on, okay? I'm not even going to get into that anymore. Yeah. But that would be a good dream. Positive. Okay.
Let's get fantasy. To some
fantasy.
Let's go with that.
I'm just going to move on. I'll get some national news. This is so sad.
It is.
This is bumming me out.
Poor guy.
Big balls. Big Balls was attacked in D.C. for trying to help a woman, like beaten, bloody. Oh, my gosh. If you're listening and not watching today, look at him. So President Trump shared a picture of, well, Big Balls, which is the name of the Doge employee who, it's not his name, but he was known as Big Balls because he went as Big Balls on some like social media platform. But this is what Donald Trump said. Crime in Washington, D.C. is totally out of control. Local youths and gang members, some only 14, 15, and 16 years old, are randomly attacking, mugging, maiming, and shooting innocent citizens, at the same time knowing they will be almost immediately released. They are not afraid of law enforcement because they know nothing ever happens to them, but it's going to happen now. The law in D.C. must be changed to prosecute these minors as adults and lock them up for a long time. So he goes on and on to talk about how they want to federalize essentially what's happening in D.C. But this, I want to just talk about what happened to Big Balls. Apparently, he was trying to come to the defense of a woman when he was beaten by suspects that were like children and then carjacked. And you can see how beaten up he is. Thankfully, he's going to be okay. But that's one of the reasons. And Trump has been talking about federalizing D.C. and taking control over safety and security in D.C. Here's a clip from a press conference that he had. He was talking. It was a Olympics press conference, but this was brought up.
Somebody from Doge was very badly hurt last night. You saw that. A young man who was beat up by a bunch of thugs in D.C., and either they're going to straighten their act out in the terms of government and in terms of protection, or we're going to have to federalize and run it the way it's supposed to be run.
Yeah. And some of this is related to the Olympics, and I want to talk about that, too. So 2028, the Olympics coming to the United States, President Donald Trump very concerned about security, which I don't blame him. I wish the president would take over security for like the World Cup that's happening in Seattle, because no way Seattle's going to make sure the World Cup is safe here. So we had this big press conference. He signed an executive order creating. So sorry, Big Balls. That's just horrible. But I had to show that picture. He signed. We should have put his name in there. Can you find out what his name is? I feel bad when he was so severely beaten. Oh, you can do it in a moment. But
okay.
Calling big him Big Balls because I can't remember his name. So he signed an executive order creating a White
Edward
House.
Edward
Korestein. Yeah. Okay, sorry, Edward. He signed an executive order creating a White House Olympics task force for security purposes ahead of the 2028 Games. And he also talked about men and women's sports.
And thank him for recently banning men from competing in women's sports. That's a big deal. Thank you very much. It's amazing the way I don't hear any applause for that when everyone feels it. It's a 97. Don't worry about it. That's a 97.3. It's not 80-20. It's 97.3. But nobody wants to clap. It's crazy. The United States will not let men steal trophies from women at the 2028 Olympics. So we appreciate the fairness. And
yeah. Sorry, I'm a little bit all over the place. I got turned around a little bit. But here's the security aspect of it.
We'll do anything necessary to keep the Olympics safe, including using our National Guard or military. Okay. No, I will use the National Guard or military. This is going to be so safe. And if we have to, because obviously you have a mayor that is not very competent. She can't get the permits for the people. You know, the people are still waiting for their permits. Lee Zeldin got them the federal permit, which is 10 times harder to get. And everybody can build on the federal basis. And that's the hard one. But the mayor, Bass, she cannot, she refuses to or cannot get them permits. They're waiting. And I was there right after the fires, and I saw all these beautiful people standing by their homes, ready to get in and get to work. And they're waiting for their permits, and they're still waiting for their state permits and city permits. It's a disgrace. It's a disgrace.
Yeah, so he uses it as an opportunity to slam Mayor Bass, which she should be slammed. But I don't know why LA wouldn't welcome help from the federal government in securing the Olympics. It should absolutely be a team effort. I mean, that's a huge event where all eyeballs are on the United States and Los Angeles. Why would you not say, hey, what help can you offer us? Like, yes, let's bring in the military. Let's bring in the National Guard. We don't want some sort of bad headline of some, you know, foreign national being murdered in Los Angeles during the Olympics. But it's just they're so deranged. You know, it's so orange man bad. They literally don't care. They would rather have people die than get help from Donald Trump. They would literally rather have people die than get help from Donald Trump. It's crazy. One more clip I want to play from this press conference the president had, because people are already asking him about 2028. No, he's not going to run. That's just not happening, okay? But there's this question about who is sort of the heir apparent to MAGA.
This weekend, Secretary of State Rubio said that he thought J.D. Vance would be a great nominee. You could clear the entire Republican field right now. Do you agree that the heir apparent to MAGA is J.D. Vance?
Well, I think most likely, in all fairness, he's the vice president. I think Marco is also somebody that maybe would get together with J.D. in some form. I also think we have incredible people, some of the people on the stage right here. So it's too early, obviously, to talk about it, but certainly he's doing a great job, and he would be probably favored at this point.
Yeah, and I think that's realistic. I mean, what do you do? Bypass the vice president? If they couldn't bypass Kamala Harris, they're not going to be able to bypass J.D. Vance. Although I think Marco Rubio would probably be a better president than J.D. Vance. But I don't know if he's going to play second fiddle for, like, what, 12 years and then take his own shot at it. And Marco Rubio's young anyway. They're both really young. And so Marco Rubio could serve 8 years as vice president and then serve, you know, 6 or 8 years as president of the United States. But it's also soon. I mean, just look at Seattle. We just talked about how 4 years ago, Seattle was like, yay, we actually do want to fight crime. And now they're like, just kidding. So a lot can change. And the American electorate is fickle little bitch. They're
both pretty likable. I mean, I know left loves to hate them, but they're both pretty likable right now. And it's more hopeful than maybe Chris Christie back in the day when people were talking about him. That was a little scary.
The Republican Party has changed a lot.
And even DeSantis, he was, I liked him, but I, you know, people were quick to be scared off by him. But these two, it's a little more difficult.
They'll find a way. It doesn't matter. The media will, I mean, they're not just going to let this Trump boogeyman go.
Right.
Like, that's all they've had. And look at somebody like Governor Bob Ferguson in Washington. What is he going to, that's his whole personality. That's his whole political platform, even so much so that the mainstream news just called him out for it. So what is he going to do after 2028? No, they'll just glob on to the next Republican at the top of the ticket, and that person will be the new sort of Trump orange man bad. Their skin might not be orange, but it'll be the same sentiment for sure. Coming up next, we'll get to our daily subscriber show poll. I thought it was a good one today. I thought this is one of my top polls. You disagree?
I mean, I think it's a good one. I think it's a... I guess
it is obvious.
Well,
we'll get to it. You really think
individually?
Noodle that through.
I think it's a very I could
noodle it through. Noodle it through. You look like noodling. You're still thinking about it. If you're thinking about selling your home, reach out to our friend Wes Jones at sellwithwes.com. I love the word noodle. Noodle on it. Sellwithwes.com. Wes and his team have an innovative marketing strategy to make sure that your listing stands out. And right now, I was just reading a Seattle Times article that came out this morning that was talking about there's an awful lot of homes for sale on the market right now. They're staying up for longer, which is a win for buyers, but prices are still really high. So usually you increase that demand and it drives prices down, but no, homes are still selling for high prices. They're just maybe taking a little longer to sell, but it means that you need to make sure your listing stands out. So do this. Go to sellwithwes.com. Compare what his listings look like with other listings on the market. It's not even close. I mean, the whole package they put together to sell your home is phenomenal. So that's how you get your listing to stand out, more feet in the door, more offers on the table, and ultimately get your home sold for the highest possible price, which is what we all want. SellWithWes.com. SellWithWes.com. It really is just a better way to sell your home. Okay, our daily subscriber show poll on Patreon, Locals, and X for our wonderful paid subscribers. Thank you so much. Would you violate a masking mandate even if it meant spending time in prison? Prison, Nicole, not just jail.
Right.
Prison, the penitentiary.
Right.
Yes or no?
No, I'm not going to prison. But
I thought you were saying it's obvious because you would.
No, no, I'm obviously not going to prison just so I can not wear a mask.
You coward.
Now, it's I think the question is could be phrased like if there was a chance, then I'd be like, well, I'd probably fight it.
Yeah,
I'd
but
probably
I can't make
think
it so open ended.
Right. I know. So but is the if the question is, would you violate the mandate to or go to prison?
And that it is the choice.
Yeah. Then the answer is no, I'm not going to prison. So I don't have to wear a mask.
You're such a coward. I know. Just kidding. I'd put the mask on too.
I'd probably not go to wherever I was.
Let's be honest.
I would just not go. Like, I wouldn't ballot observe. I'd be like, you do it.
Let's be honest. Like, I'm hard. I ain't that hard.
Sorry.
I'm not cut out for prison.
I appreciate those willing to, but no.
No, I'm putting that face diaper on.
Absolutely not going to prison.
No, I'm not going to prison. Good for Tim Hazel.
I'm not going to jail, as a matter of fact.
No, bad things would happen to me.
Yeah.
What do you think our subscribers, where do you think it's at? Yes versus no?
I would say the yeses is in the 25% range.
You're really good. You know them well. 29% say yes, yeah, they would go to prison.
Okay.
Sorry, this is good stuff. This is entertaining. 71% say no.
I want to talk to one of those 29%.
Well,
what's
we have Tim Hazelow. He was willing to go. He's going.
I don't
to
think he
for
thought
it.
That this was gonna.
No, I don't think he thought it would get to.
That's the thing. It's like the for sure.
I'm dying right now.
Wear a mask or go to prison. I'm going to prison. I don't think that was what he signed up for.
Oh, you guys, my back hurts from laughing so hard. I haven't even read your comments yet. Nicole Prater says, I would make my objection known before putting the stupid mask on. I stopped going out to do my shopping during COVID, and even now I rarely go out to the stores that required masking and distancing. Yeah, you can kind of pick and choose, right? I know this is a hypothetical. Well, it's not a hypothetical for Tim. He had a decision to make. Let's see. Juniette says, I refused to wear a mask during the COVID lockdowns. I was fortunate that in our small town, many of the businesses didn't care and let me shop unmasked. But there were still a lot of places I couldn't go. I gave up my Costco membership and didn't shop or donate to Goodwill for over a year because neither would accommodate me. Pickle Man, I would just have to comply and later hope that people would see how ludicrous it was. Exceptions for medical areas, hospitals, etc. Yeah, I get that. And look, so I'm a no, right? But I will say it would depend. Like, for instance, let me give you an example that would change my mind. If I had to wear a mask to go, and I was in mainstream news, and I was required to wear a mask to go cover the governor in a press conference for years. Like, I'm not talking the first 6 months of COVID.
Okay.
But if to continue to do my job and cover someone in power, if that was my day-to-day job, I would absolutely make them arrest me. I would absolutely make them arrest me. And go through the process of sending a journalist to jail
right.
for not wearing a mask. So I think there are some circumstances. Now, would I want to go to prison? No. I've been in prisons. They're not nice places, okay? Let me see here. I was trying to find... Aztec Sun God says, I'm old. I couldn't take it. And yeah, I mean, couldn't take prison or the mask because those masks can be quite suffocating for people. So, I mean, old people... As much as I see a lot of them wear the mask, it's not good.
If there's a chance you could get the president's attention and possibly a pardon, then possibly I'd take the risk. But
yeah. Gabrielle says, if I comply, that is prison. So, you know, you're giving up one freedom for another. So one is sort of a physical prison and one is sort of this mental prison. So I get that point, too. It's like, yep, if I'm just going to comply with everything the government does, I'm in my own weird little prison anyway. You know, Gabe, for such a short comment, that was deep. That was real deep. Kick JJ
deep
says,
comment of the day.
Not at my age, but I would do what I could to push it, to wear it under my nose, etc. I just cut a big hole in the middle of it. I'm wearing a mask. What are you talking about?
That was when I did have to go somewhere and I would just typically like wear it wrong, you know, or yeah, wear it half-assed.
Just cut some, like, you know, there's the folds. Just cut some slits in the folds, you know, so you can actually breathe.
Yeah, just was so dumb.
You know, I agree. For someone, I really enjoy doing my makeup. So it's like, what did I do my makeup for today? You know, it's just all right under my MS.
When they have the stupid plexiglass things and like, I can't hear and like definitely can't hear through those. So then I always have to like put my head under them and like, breathe.
That was probably
the
a nightmare for you. Yeah, because you can't hear still, Jack. Oh, God.
Still is when they have those plexiglass things. And then they still have the mask on the other side. So it's like you're talking through a mask and the plexiglass. Like, no, I give up.
No, no. All right, we'll get to some other comments and questions from the show today in a moment. But first, if you're interested in housing policy, I highly recommend signing up to attend the Engage conference. It's happening October 22nd and 23rd at the Baden Bauer Center in Bellevue. I'm going to be there. My friend Jonathan Cho is going to be there. We're hosting a panel on how the media covers housing policy, which we did last year, and it was quite entertaining and fun. We were a very popular panel. Sometimes at those conferences, some panels are not well attended. Ours was not one of them. It was standing room only. So definitely come. And they also have other guests. If you're a builder, developer, or, you know, have a investment property or something, I think it's a great conference. It's hosted by our friends and sponsors at the Rental Housing Association of Washington, rhawa.org. rhawa.org is where you should go to sign up for that event and also to become a member of RHA. If you are a small to mid-sized landlord, they're going to help you navigate this complex environment that we're in Washington State around housing. rhawa.org. rhawa.org. Okay, comments from the show today. The drag show at the elementary school. I almost forgot about that story. I've been having so much fun on the show today. Yeah, I haven't even gone too long. Old Sub Sailor, $20 super chat. The Democrat socialists use shows like this to tear down family values, social decency, and public behavioral norms. Yes, yes, and yes. It's all part of their national plan to make our state and country socialist, leading to communism. Totally agree. Papa Woody calls it the decline of Western civilization. Oh, it's a fast decline, isn't it? Midnight, drag shows belong behind age-gated doors. Yes. And this is where sometimes I'm wrong. I'm okay with that. And I'm sorry. I try to be perfect. But sometimes I change my mind about things. Like, for instance, gender mutilation of children. I used to think it was like parents should be able to consent to it. Absolutely not. That's ridiculous. What a terrible opinion. Shame on you. Terrible. This is one of those things where I've even on fairly recent shows said, look, there are different kinds of drag shows. There are the drag shows where it's like a, you know, old man dressed as an old lady. Like, what's that movie? Mrs. Doubtfire.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Like, is that so bothersome if they're reading a book to kids? But now, because they just don't know where to stop, I'm going to say yes, starting today. Yes. We're just not doing it because you don't know where the line is. And one day it's Mrs. Doubtfire reading a book to kids, and the next day there's Spready Eagle with a thong on, and I'm just not okay with it anymore. This is why we can't have nice things or really anything. Kathleen McGovern Quigley on Facebook. This is perversion and brainwashing. Desensitized parents and children will buy into their ignorance. It's overexposure to get them to think it's normal. Yes, nothing normal about a man in a dress doing the splits in front of children. I agree. Let's see. Miranda. I assume that's not our Miranda. I don't think Miranda's monitoring comments and then putting her own comments in. How will kids know what's okay and what's not okay in regard to adults in their lives when you allow your kids to be exposed to adults like this? Yes. And I'm sorry, the worst offender. So in this situation, you have the school, you have the performers, the Democratic Party, and the parents. Who do you think the worst offender is in this situation? Nicole's not paying attention to me. It's the parents.
Absolutely.
100%. You're going to bring your kid there and watch them do this and hand them money to hand to a stripper? Gross. Gross. On the primary results, Salty says, many of us on here have been saying the only way we're going to change this is to go back to in-person voting with ID. No more ballot harvesting. This is how the clown show keeps winning. Look, you know, I disagree that that's what's at play here. I don't know that. I think it would help. But I don't like the ease with which Republicans chalk up such substantial losses to like, oh, they're cheating. Because I think you really have to understand, why are we not reaching people? How can we reach these passive voters? How can we get... And don't even worry about flipping voters at this point. Don't even worry about it. Don't flip voters. Get people to vote who aren't voting. I mean, I don't remember if the Family Policy Institute said something like 400,000 or more Christians in the state don't even vote. Because a lot of religious people, they're kind of like, some religions don't allow it.
Yeah.
And some...
And they're mostly religions that would...
Right.
Vote conservatively.
Right. And some see it as an earthly thing,
yeah,
you know, like that they won't engage themselves in,
mm-hmm.
which I think is wrong. I'm not going to tell anybody how to religion their religion, but think about, you know, decline of family values, the evil sickness that it's brought into our schools mm-hmm. around children like this. Certainly Christians would look at that and say, we have to do what we can to stop this. The mutilation of children. I mean, these are issues that people who are religious should be able to get behind, and that means voting. So I think let's stop looking at flipping people and start looking at getting every voter engaged who's mm-hmm. not engaged already. Joshua Cooper says these voters are gluttons for punishment. Yeah, they just love it. And they're so, you know, these wealthy 45 to 60 year old Seattle progressives who live in their $3-4 million home, and they're like, oh, yes, police defunding. It's just like, you guys have lost your minds.
Well, it's just about getting people to listen to. Like, I just know so many people that just don't realize how bad it's got.
Yeah.
I
don't even know that's possible. But we live in this weird...
Oh.
We don't know. You know, we're obsessed
wild.
With politics.
Like, just stories that we hear about that are in our feeds all week, right?
Yeah.
I mean, the shooting last week that we talked about on Monday that was in our feeds all weekend, right? That was very sad, and it happens outside of church. I mean, so many of the people I talked to hadn't heard anything about that.
Crazy.
And so I just think that people used, I mean, COVID and politics and Trump to check out, and they really did check out.
Yeah.
And so I think we have to remind people how important it is to check back in for some things.
Yeah. Yeah, and then once you... check out your algorithm, like you kind of allude to, it's not feeding you that.
It's not giving
it's
you
not,
the info.
It's giving you other stuff.
Yep.
On the GOP ballot observer, who now appears to be out of a job, Kelly Brown Wood, the self-proclaimed party of acceptance is filled with deep hatred for anyone with opposing views. They weaponize their position of power and stop at nothing to utterly destroy mm-hmm. the lives of conservatives. Yeah, it's really disgusting. And I hate to make it so personal against Greg Banks, but he's made this personal.
Oh, yeah.
As personal as it can get. And he used the power of his office to ruin a man's life because he doesn't like Trump supporters, he doesn't like conservatives, and he wanted to prove a point. And it's totally inappropriate. Angry Nene said that prosecutor needs to be brought up to the bar for ethics violations and be disbarred. He has bias and did not recuse himself. The bar loves this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
The bar is so left-wing in our state, they'll probably celebrate him and give him an award.
Mm-hmm.
On Big Balls getting attacked, Matt Gilbert says, now we know why he's called Big Balls. Yeah, because he stood up for someone.
Exactly.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, awesome. And he got Poor so much kid. Flack. How many of those talking heads on MSNBC who are like, look at this immature kid who calls himself Big Balls, how many of them would step in to help a woman?
Mm-hmm.
None. Zero. Deb ZJ, I don't understand why everyone is acting like an Olympic task force is something new.
Well, no, I think it's the Trump appointing himself the head of the task force.
Yes, I'm sorry, I missed that. I was fumbling through that segment, so I probably missed talking about that. But yes, and it's not a new concept to increase security. But now you have a city like LA that has talked, you know, oh, no federal, nothing here. And are they going to do that at the expense of people attending the Olympics? You would sure hope not. But they probably will. They're willing to let, you know, their people suffer in their city.
Typically, I think you appoint a czar, right? Like somebody in charge of the Olympic security. And yeah, he said during that press conference, I will take over the security of the city if we need to, if they're not ready for the challenge.
Yeah, crazy. Let's see. Jack Hartstock with a $4.99 super chat. Linwood election update. Josh Binda likely to be primaried. I haven't looked at the results there, so I don't have them in front of me. So I can't give you an answer on that. Sorry, I didn't look at all the city results. But Jack says that Josh Binda might not have been performing too well after last night's election. So maybe we can look into that here as we get to our closing sanity check.
Well, that would be some sanity.
That would be some sanity, right? We'll look into it for tomorrow's show.
Yeah.
All right, Nicole, thank you so much for joining us for comments. And with that, we will get to our closing sanity check. Man, ICE just loving life right now. DHS, they're not backing down. They're not slowing down. They're going to continue with deportations, etc. And they are doing everything they can to get more boots on the ground. Here's Secretary Kristi Noem on Fox saying they want people to join up.
We've removed any of the age barriers. We no longer have a cap on how old you can be, you can continue at age 18, sign up for ICE and join us and be a part of it. As of today, we have over 80,000 applicants for those 10,000 positions already. People and patriots across this country that say, we want to join, we want to help and be a part of this effort. It's overwhelming to see the amount of response and support that our ICE officers have gotten and people who want to join their ranks.
And some of the things they're offering is crazy. So they want 10,000 new agents. They're offering a $50,000 signing bonus and $60,000 in student loan forgiveness. So all those little lefties whining about their student loans, all you got to do is deport some criminal illegal aliens. That's the trade-off. I think it's fair. That has been our closing sanity check. That has been today's episode of Undivided. Thank you for being here. Thank you so much for your commitment to giving common sense a comeback. We sure do appreciate it. If you have not signed up to support the show, you can do that right now at undividedpod.com, undividedpod.com. You just click on the banner that says support the show. And while you're there, we've got brand new merch out. So you can check out all the brand new Undivided merch. I was buying time because I was just looking at the Linwood results. So Josh Bindo right now is just 0.03% in the second place position. So if he can't hold that, he might not even advance to the general election. We'll talk about that tomorrow. I think that's a good story for maybe Unbelievable tomorrow, depending on where things are at. Okay. Good times per the usual. That's it. That's all I got.